A couple more minutes with Edward Lengel, who has opened up the First World War for us to look at carefully and thoughtfully. I go back to my childhood. There were two men who lived in the neighborhood who were reclusive and lived in a little hovel almost, and lived off of very meager lives. And we were told never to call them doughboys, that might upset them. And they were both veterans of the First World War. And all we knew was they'd been gassed, whatever that meant, and they had shell shock, whatever that meant. What is this doughboy thing? What's that word?
Where does it come from? Nobody is really certain where the word doughboy originates from. I think probably the most convincing story that I've heard is that it originates from the Mexican expedition, when Pershing's troops were riding through these adobe villages, and this white dust covered the troops to make them look like they were made out of dough, and they were called doughboys then. But I've heard zillions of other stories. But as far as who they were as people, you think about the doughboy next to the GI, next to Johnny Reb, Billy Yank, the Minuteman. Who is he? He's a mystery. He's been lost. There were many facets to him. He was overwhelmingly, many of them were immigrants. They were the first to experience this type of warfare. They were really the trailblazers, unwillingly, for modern war in American society. But they're also really a group to be admired in how they were able to learn and adapt so quickly. I think that really sets them apart.
I found myself going, if there are enough parallels, I found myself laying out legacies that we're still living with. There's some obvious macro, the entire Middle East is a legacy of the First War, the destruction essentially of the Ottoman Empire and the division of the countries that were not countries. By the Allied powers. You also talk about and I think this is more substantive, the subtle changes in how soldiers saw essentially the social contract, and also the relationship between society and those people we send out to do our killing for us. Right. But they're and all of these things have not gone away. You can find traces and legacies going all the way back, directly back to this war, that affect us dramatically today.
Right.
What are some of those your mind?
At the beginning of that war, the idea had always been that fighting is something that you do as a debt to your society. It's your duty to your society. World War I creates for the first time this idea that society also owes something to the soldiers, that there is a sense of entitlement, that it goes both ways. In particular, you think about the Bonus Army during the Great Depression, and how these soldiers got practically nothing from the state when they came back. Like other soldiers in other wars, they had trouble adapting, they had trouble finding jobs, they had trouble readjusting to civilian
society. And many of them were functionally disabled.
Yeah, and functionally disabled and physically disabled as well. You think how many whose lungs were ruined by gas as well.
To say nothing of shell shock.
And shell shock, which was not understood well at that time. Mental illness, all the post-traumatic stress was not understood, but you see it in all the stories that the veterans told. But for the first time, the veterans really forced society to realize that, you need to help us. You need to help us get back into society. You need to support us and give us pensions. And it developed really that idea of the social contract.
I'm amazed at how many things, as Bill's saying about legacy, are so current with this. Bill, I'm sorry, you were about to say?
I found myself thinking about the promises that were made when you talk about that sense of entitlement. There were promises made in the Revolutionary War that were not carried out. There were promises made during the War of 1812. There were promises made in the Civil War to troops, to African Americans, to lots of different people. We're still doing that today. The scandal is another way to describe it at Walter Reed Hospital.
Oh, no.
is one more example. We, you know, as long as they're over there and sort of out of the way and doing what they're supposed to do, we talk a lot about supporting them.
Right.
But we consistently fail to deliver on that social contract that we have not, you know, that's not only implicit, but in most cases has been made explicit, and almost inevitably we let the veterans down.
And people just don't want to think about it. What astounds me is how little attention has been given to the wounded, and to those who've, again, been physically or mentally disabled in the Iraq War. You know, we keep count of how many have been killed, just as a number.
But there's and just no, Americans.
Yeah, just Americans. No attention to the bodies coming home. No attention, really, with the exception of this Walter Reed scandal. Kudos to the Washington Post for bringing that out.
I went and looked at a map. That hospital, as best I could tell, is within walking distance of Congress and the White
right.
House.
It's
I mean, it's just, you know, this is there's a willing blindness,
right?
That is, to me, is just is.
Unacceptable.
Almost, well, it's unacceptable. It's almost pathologically cynical.
Right. Mm.
And again, it's not that we haven't experienced this before. We know what's going to happen if we do not exercise leadership, judgment, and more than anything, probably responsibility with respect to these people we're asking to die for us.
And to kill for us.
That's right. Right. And it's so important to remember. It's so important to look back to the past and to draw those parallels with the present. Again, when you look at this war and World War I, it astounds me that Americans don't want to think about it. It's just too ugly. It's just too bloody. It's just like with Iraq today. It's disappeared from the media for the last few months. It's
not,
disappeared.
Not fun anymore.
Completely.
Well, we thank you for bringing it back to life and death and to conquer hell. Edward Lingle, it's been quite an experience. Thanks for the ride.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Like World War I itself, Edward Lengel's book To Conquer Hell is an important story of real people with real consequences. We thank Dr. Lengel for giving us tools for putting America's history to work, and we thank him for joining us here. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.